BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Wednesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. There is a Bambaleo. Also includes Martin Roberts off of Homes Under the Hammer with his expert opinion on number 10 Downing Street before Theresa May moves in. Alice is on Real or No Real. Our listener Steph with a great story about her mum. And we tell you the best words to say while taking a selfie to get amazing results.
Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
Right, we're on. People were cruelly denied of a Bambaleo last week because we were too busy eating croc monsieur and doing our alternative commentary for the Euros. We weren't here this time last week. So even better reason to have a brilliant Bambaleo today.
What do we do to counteract all that? Do we go twice as long? That'd be ridiculous.
Oh, I mean, I could do double gap.
It's already quite lengthy though, isn't
it?
Yeah, scrap that. Let's just go hard.
Chris, let me just check what time we're doing Bambaleo today, just so people can plan their days around it.
Well, I mean, there's a debate to be had around when we do Bambaleo. I'm quite keen for a fairly early one. Should we say after two? What? Let's not leave it too late in the day today.
2 to 2.30 or 2.30 to 3?
Let's go 2 to 2.30.
2 to 2.30.
Does that suit you, sir?
That suits me, sir. Hi, Emma Robertson. He says, hearing Mills' voice means I only have 3 hours left at work before I'm officially in holiday mode. Hashtag Portugal. That's good, wow, isn't it? When you just know you've got 3 hours left and then you're on in actual sun. Does anyone anyone know where summer is, by the way? Because I'm just a little bit concerned that we're not going to get one at all now.
With that kind of attitude, we won't, though, Scott.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Chris, how many hours a week do you think you spend taking selfies?
It wouldn't equate to anything. It wouldn't register on the hour front.
So not even an hour?
No, I'd say, I mean, it's probably going to add up to, what, a minute or two?
A week?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. So I've just been reading this thing. Obviously, 16 to 25 year old girls who take the most selfies, yeah?
Of course.
One in three of them do it to attract potential love interests. Most of them do it, 4 out of 5 do it to get likes.
Yeah. Which would that, let's be honest, that's why most people would do it, surely.
All about
that's why
likes.
You do it.
Yeah. Guess how many hours a week? For 16 to 25 year old girls, on average.
I don't think it could add up to be hours, though.
5 hours a week.
No, that's nonsense, surely.
48 minutes a day, on average, taking selfies. If you reckon, right, get in touch with me if you reckon you spend that long every week, if you're in that age group and you're a girl taking selfies. I can't believe that's true. 5 hours. Do you know, we were in a car the other day and we saw that girl taking a selfie of herself with a selfie stick. Watching people get ready for their selfies, yeah, is one of the best things.
Especially when they're on their own, because they're well aware it looks really awkward. In amongst mates, it's, yeah, just like you can have a laugh with your, yeah, mates whilst doing it. But when you're on your own, posing, and, yeah, she was in front of a tourist attraction, wasn't she?
It was like Big Ben in London, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she's like doing her hair.
Proper pout as well. Moved her face to the side and pout. Apparently what you need to say a certain word. It's like, Toby.
Who told you that?
If you say, I think it's that, or it's Toby or Pony. And if you say that whilst you take a photo, it takes the perfect pout. That's what I heard.
Who told you this?
Toby. But then but then that makes the selfie experience even weirder, because you're there taking a photo of yourself going, Toby.
Is it Toby or is it Pony?
It's one of the two, I'm not sure.
Very different.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello to Hannah, who's been on saying, what's this wrong with plain old-fashioned cheese? Ho! Cheese is not on anymore. Hello to Andy in Ellesmere, Shropshire, who's just tried a selfie saying Toby and looks like a goldfish. Right, I think you've got it wrong. It's not Toby or Pony. The word, and everyone's saying it, for the perfect selfie, is prune.
Prune. Prune.
And prune.
And a few people are suggesting that you need to, like, stick your tongue out or your prune. Tongue on your lip. So if you try and have your tongue out of your mouth and say prune, it's like, poon. Poon. It doesn't really work, does it?
No.
So what other suggestions are there, Scott?
Well, Chris, there are, for no chins, you can try and swallow. So if you swallow, then the chins disappear.
What?
Yeah, to just swallow as the picture's been taken.
But it's hard to swallow and say Toby at the same time.
No, you don't have to say anything.
It?
You just swallow. Or
Toby.
Or tongue, roof of mouth. Also good for making the face look good there. No chins.
What? How do you... What? Which one? What?
You just put tongue, roof of mouth.
Yeah. I mean, it's all something to try, isn't it? When you're next having a selfie. Good
certainly
luck.
Is. Good luck with that. I've really learned a lot here, actually. And this girl who... Don't say your name, but it says, if the 5 hours include Snapchat, applying filters, checking my Instagram, looking at Facebook and my Twitter, then yeah, I reckon I probably have reached 5 hours a week. It's easy to do.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's that?
Hi, it's Steph.
Hi, Steph. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
How can I help you today?
Well, I was listening to radio yesterday, and I was listening to that girl who called in about her mum being a bit over-involved.
Yeah, her mum is over-involved. Basically, she's become part of her friend group. She's made friends with a girl called Lauren, who's a personal trainer. And
also that girl's best mate.
Yeah, so she's now kind of infiltrated the friend group. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to that, and it got me thinking. So about 5 years ago, I broke up with my boyfriend of about 8 years.
Oh, no.
That's ages.
Yeah, no. It's fine now. I'm still with the guy that I broke up with him for.
Oh. Oh, okay. I see. No sympathy.
Like that, then. Okay, cool.
My mum, when I told her, she cried and refused to speak to me.
What, so you break up with a boyfriend of 8 years?
Yeah.
Rather than consoling you and going, oh, that's terribly upsetting, but I'm here for you, she doesn't speak to you.
No, she wouldn't. It was like I broke up with my mum, Scott. She said that she wasn't going to speak to me because I'd made a very immature decision.
This is the worst. When parents won't cut ties with your ex.
No, like the worst thing is, Chris, she went and saw him. She went over to his house and had dinner.
Oh no. Did you break up with him then? That's the vibe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. we're still friends. So like we were fine. He was like a bit weird. Your mum just called me. Yeah. Well, she's not talking to me.
I think a lot of people have had this though, because when you break up with somebody, you are kind of also breaking up with their family. And if you get well with the family, it's quite hard.
Yeah, I mean I get it. I do get it, but I think cutting me off was a bit extreme.
Possibly,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and also, you've got to draw lines in these things, decide whose side you're on. It's a bit strange when your mum is siding with the ex.
Yeah, I know. My friends and my mum's friends, they were calling me and they were like, oh, your mum's really upset. Like, what's happened? And I told them, they were like, oh, do you want to come to us for Christmas?
Oh, no.
And what? So when you said your mum met up with him for dinner, like, what?
Yeah.
Was that a secret?
Well, my ex rang me and told me, he's like, oh, your mum's coming over for dinner. And I was like, what? You're cooking my mum dinner? And this is about a week after. Apparently she came over and she was really upset. And she was like, I'm so sorry. We thought we raised her better.
This is very disloyal, it feels.
So good.
Did they ever have dinner when you were together?
Yeah. Like, I think she was dating him towards the end rather than me.
Do you actually think that?
No, well, I don't really think
if so,
that.
That's a fantastic one for another show.
Blimey, call again.
No, she loves my dad very much. But I think she was just like really, really kind of like in love with him and as a son kind of figure. Yeah. She didn't have any boys, bless her.
She was just having a bit of a hard time. All fine with your mum now?
Yeah, all fine. I love my mum. Yeah, we're very close. I think she just had took it quite hard.
She just had a little wobble, didn't she?
Sacked the ex off?
She still talks to him every now and then. So he's got a lovely girlfriend who he lives with, and he's very happy. Occasionally she still gives him a text. How are you doing?
What's the new boyfriend saying about that?
Our new boyfriend doesn't mind us all. He's very laid back.
God, you're all very laid back, aren't
you? I like it. I like that you're that laid back.
Yeah, laid back family.
Yeah, like, well, it's better than having problems with everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, true. And at least she was honest about it.
Yeah.
No, it's all very cool. Saying that, it does seem unusual because I think if I was the new boyfriend, I'd struggle that your mum is still messaging the ex-boyfriend.
Well, she never compares them.
Well, that's
fine. The only thing she once said, oh, they're very different, aren't they? And then she was like, but I like that. And I was like, okay.
Okay. And does she ever call the new boyfriend by the ex-boyfriend's name?
Oh, terrible.
Oh, do you know what? She hasn't. But I'll tell you who has. My gran.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Yeah. Awkward. Really awkward. But not only did she do it once, Chris, she did it about four times. And like, it just kept coming out. And like, my sister literally had a fist in her mouth trying not to laugh.
You're fun. Thank you very much for getting in touch.
That's okay. No problem.
Any other stories that you might find in your life, let me know about it.
I will do.
This applies to everybody as well. Email me. I love your stories. scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So many people have had this. Like Dan in Monmouthshire. When my last girlfriend broke up with me, my mum went to check to see if she was okay instead of seeing me.
I think it's quite a common situation. Because always you want your family to stick by you, don't you, and kind of side with you. But if they have made friends with the ex, it's quite a sudden breakup for them as well. Maybe they're not that keen to get over it that quickly.
It happens a lot. I still get this. I went on holiday and my ex came round my house and met my mum. They took pictures together and my mum put them on Facebook and my new girlfriend saw.
Oh, no.
That's from Matt in Thetford.
No.
That's terrible. And also, this person who says, some of the people that ring into Radio 1 Scott Mills Show make me howl. And I often relate to what they're saying. I know. There is there's a lot of that kind of thing with when you split up with someone.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Luke in Chesterfield. When me and my ex broke up, my mum carried on having monthly meals with my ex. We broke up nearly 9 months ago. The worst part is I've had a new girlfriend for 3 months and she's gone out for meals with my ex monthly, but not once with my new girlfriend.
Yeah, and I bet the new girlfriend proper hates it as well.
Oh, it's a really awkward situation.
And what can you do if you're the new girlfriend as well? Because you don't want to step on toes and stuff like that. And also, when you're new in a relationship, you want the parents to like you.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You go all out generally. Generally speaking, I think it's a bad move to try and not impress the parents.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've really got to try hard on that. If you like the person, then you'll do anything.
Yeah, literally anything. And even if that means faking whatever,
yeah,
you know, to impress them. Yeah. Do what you can.
Yeah. I mean, I know you did that, for sure. Coming up, Jack Garrett. Also, Lucas Graham and Galantis. We're going to bumbleo in the next half hour as well. I think it's needed.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Every time we get to midweek, we like to do a special celebration with the Gypsy Kings. And you lot generally get involved. Down tools, stop what you're doing, and have a little dance.
Amor de compra y venta, amor del pasado. Ven, 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 ven.
Fart.
I'm trying.
Fart.
I'm trying.
Fart.
I'm trying.
Fart.
That sounds weird on its own.
Farting.
Right. Thank you very much. Right. Thank you very much.
Oh, I ordered a pizza, do you remember, at the alternative commentary?
Wait, stuffed crust. And the stuffed crust. Wait. And wheat.
Scott.
Chicken wings.
Ryland.
I was wearing a black boob tube and a black miniskirt and I got up in a club and started DJing. Nick, I've never touched a deck in my life.
She doesn't have the range.
Oh, yes, I want to take you to a pog bar. I want to take you to a pog bar. I want to take you to a pog bar. Pog bar, pog bar.
Here they come. Here they come. Where are you? 81199. Where are you bumbleoing today? Bumbleoing my hammers off in Sheffield. That's Carlton. Hello. Hi, Jennifer, who loved that Sandara Karma track. I know, it's good, isn't it? Oh, Melissa, you're too late with your request. No, I'm actually in a Honda Jazz from the Governess off of the Chase. That'll be on again soon, though.
Big shout out to Hayley. Bumblane was prepping a roast. That's quite chefy of you. Right, let's have it, Scott.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Bumbaleo.
You're halfway through the week. 2.5 days until the weekend. It's all absolutely fine. Alice in Bristol. Sophie, who says Bumbaleo Wednesday actually makes my week.
I've got a feeling our text is not working now, so if you are bumbling, can you quickly switch to Twitter for the shout-outs? Just a quick point of order there. Switch to Twitter.
Or nobody is listening. But I think they are. Hi, Francesca, I've got your message. Having a little bumbleo in Wales. Bumbleo.
She doesn't have the range.
Lucy off of Bolton, the dog walker. Bumbleoing her puppies off. Okay, yeah.
40 of those. Do you think that's a nickname or a job description?
I don't know.
She doesn't have the range.
And again! We've got Jim on his way to London from Nottingham. Also, Phil, Bumbleo in Barnsley.
Big shout out to Jeff.
Hello, Martin in his truck. Bumbleoing my bonts off on my last Wednesday at my current job, lads, says Liam. Thank you.
Quick.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Ez on Twitter, who says, Scott, please never stop playing David Cameron singing. It's the best. I still want to know what song it is. And I've been really trying to work out what it is. Or is he just doing that pointless kind of like dad thing where you just go?
No,
it's not an actual song.
I think it's clever. I think now that he's leaving being Prime Minister, I think he can now do whole PAs and clubs and that doing this song.
David Cameron DJ set.
David Cameron DJ set, this freshers, and he'll perform this song live.
Do you know, it's actually like exactly the right time to. Freshers in September.
Yes.
And he's resigned now. He's out today. Theresa's in. Perfect time for the DJ set.
Yeah, just imagine the posters. It'd be
tonight.
DJ Cameron.
At Liquid in Basingstoke.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello, Evie.
Hi,
You could be the person to save my life today on Bangers.
Maybe, we'll see.
Yeah, be fair with this, Evie. I'm sure you are. You sound like a very fair person.
I am quite fair, but, the right decision has to be made.
Yeah, firm but fair.
So yeah, you work in a coffee shop, right? In Royal Leamington Spa.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you've had a rubbish day?
I've had the most awful day, yeah.
What happened?
I just had a massive delivery this morning, and it was just a nightmare to put away. I've been cut myself 5 times on my hands and bruised them.
No.
I've spilled milk everywhere, dropped it all over my apron or down on my shoes.
Oh, have you got a slightly stale, milky smell about you now?
Yeah, a little bit. It's not nice.
Is it just one of those days with the milk?
It is literally just one of those days. But I have them about 3 times a week, so...
Who knew that being a barista was so dangerous?
I know, it is actually. There's lots of risk assessments involved.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot.
You know, at your shop, are you one of those that has the secret coffee menu and you have to kind of like do a wink and go, I want to order from the other menu?
Yes, we are one of those, yeah.
Right, so you can confirm that that does exist?
I can confirm that it does, but it depends where you are.
Okay, what you're basically saying is it does exist, but you're not going to tell everyone the secret wink or the secret password or the secret handshake to get the coffee.
Yeah, that's correct.
Fine,
yeah.
Okay.
But it does happen at your shop.
It does happen, yeah.
Oh, I really want to know what it is.
There's lots of different things you can look up, but not everyone can be made, so.
Okay, fine. So if we're ever in your coffee shop though, you'll look after us, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, of course.
Cool. Awesome. Okay, right, I'll order something really weird. All right, this is what I've got for you today. Teenage Icon by Vaccines. It's bouncy, it's nice, it's Wednesday. I'm feeling this.
Yeah, I didn't expect this from you, Scott. Good, very good song.
Oh,
actually,
it's really good. Listen to it.
Yeah.
It's a good choice.
So you can have a bit of Vaccines if you fancy it.
You can have the Vaccines or you can have this.
Oh,
it's a bit of Biffy Mountains. Yeah.
That's difficult.
Tricky bangers today. Different game from both of us.
Different cards pulled out there today, guys.
Yeah. I wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, God. That's just so good. I don't know. I'm swaying more towards Chris's because I went to Reading a few years ago and I did see Biffy. But I don't know. The Vaccines. That is a banger, as they would say.
Do you know what? If you choose me, controversially, it will then mean that I win the week.
Oh,
because I will be 3-0 up.
Oh, you would, wouldn't you? Oh.
So listen, you could really make my day and have an amazing song played on Radio 1 in 1. How does that sound to you?
Or you could give me my first win of the week. And imagine how amazing that would make you feel inside as a person.
That would make me feel good, and I do like, to be fair.
Yeah, and also, you know, back the underdog.
Yeah,
support the winner.
Oh, I don't know, guys.
The indicators make it quite tense.
Yeah, it's like...
Can you hear them?
Yeah, it's making it quite stressful for me, actually.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's quite stressful for myself.
Come on then, let's be having you.
I'm gonna go with Scott. I'm gonna back the underdog.
No, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have said anything.
That went a bit wrong, didn't it? As a classic case of I should have kept my mouth shut.
No, I don't know. They're both good bangers today.
They were good. But you did kind of talk her out of it. She was swaying towards you to start.
I don't mind. I quite like the drama of the week if I don't win it so easy this time.
Yeah. Happy with that. The Scott Mills Daily. BBC Radio 1. I'm a little bit obsessed with David Cameron moving house today.
I have noticed you've been keeping an eye on everything as it's happening.
I think a lot of people are. I heard Grimmy saying about this. I mean, it shouldn't be interesting, but it is, because he's really important, like the most important person. And I want to see it all on the news channel. I want to see every bit of it. Because, like, they only have a day to pack up and get out.
Also, you don't see him loading anything into the van. It seems fairly stress-free for him.
I'm saying that he's getting someone else to do it. Yeah. Also, where are the vans? You don't see them?
No, I saw the vans yesterday.
No, did you really?
Yeah. Because
that's
the other thing I noticed. They didn't have the name of a company written on the side. So I was really hoping it was like a so-and-so and son removals.
Or what Dave's done there is he's just hired the van himself.
Yeah, but he's still not putting... I haven't seen him lift one thing into the van.
And so he's off today. And then tonight, does she sleep there tonight?
Well, I heard what they do on the last night is they have a massive rave.
Right.
In the house itself.
What, just like mess up the house a bit?
Well, yeah, because it's up to Teresa to come in and clean it all up. I can only imagine that's how it works.
David, you've made a mess of my house.
I did hear that he had a large curry for his final dinner
right
in there.
Okay.
Again, I don't know if that's true. I'm trying to keep up with everything on Twitter.
So Theresa May is the new Prime Minister. She is living there from tonight. Thing is, she's got no choice in the matter. I mean, it doesn't look bad, that house, but that's the house that she has to live in. She's probably not even looked round.
Also, I don't know if they can really clear it up to the point where it's... Like at uni, we had to remove everything. We had to... No blue tack. They were really serious on that, otherwise you've got sort of fines here or there. So I had to kind of dig away this black stuff that was in the sink, which I left right to the last minute, but it was really stubborn. And what I'm saying is I couldn't get it all done in a day.
No. I don't know how they're doing it.
So I can only assume he has an army of helpers to kind of make everything go back to normal. And then she moves in and will put everything to her liking.
And give it her kind of touch.
Do you reckon he... When I left uni, what I did is I left little notes dotted around the room as well, sort of behind... I mean, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, behind the mirror.
What notes?
So behind the mirror, I wrote a little note, shoved it behind the mirror. So if you're in Glen Eyre Halls in room... Block D, room 9.
Yeah.
Behind the mirror, there's a little note from my former self.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's found it yet. Is it rude?
No, I don't think... No, it's more like a note to me in the future.
Oh, you're weird. Anyway, Theresa May's got a new house. It looks quite nice. Or is it? I want to know. I don't know anything about property. So I've texted my friend Martin Roberts off of Homes Under the Hammer. And we're going to get him on after 3 o'clock and see... what Theresa's let herself in for by moving into this house that she's never... Well, she's been in there before, but she's probably not been to the private quarters. So Martin Roberts off of Homes Under the Hammer after 3 to give us his expert opinion on the property.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So we get a new Prime Minister today. David Cameron moves out. Theresa May moves in. I'm obsessed with how it all works, Chris, at number 10.
I know, you love it.
The moving process. The thing is, Theresa has absolutely no say in it. Normally you can choose the house you live in, but this is just the way it is for her. Looks nice, though. Or is it? I now want to bring in Martin Roberts from Homes Under the Hammer to discuss Theresa's new gaff. Hi, Martin.
Hey, it's all change at number 10, then.
It's all change at number 10. So Theresa's moving in today to 10 Downing Street. She's been a bit busy, probably not even had a chance to look around and see what state the house is in, Martin.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried. I mean, I think she could be taking on a bit of a can of worms with this one. For a start, she's made that classic mistake. She hasn't looked at it before she's moved in. She's bought blind.
Right.
Yeah, and she's, you know, and the other thing is, the previous occupant is leaving in a bit of a rush. So I think it's going to be a total disaster inside. I mean, no touching up of paintwork, any scratches from the last however many years it is. I'm a bit worried about what she's going to find.
Do you think it's a fixer-upper?
Well, you know, it's got a lot going for it. I mean, you know, obviously great location, central London, you're on this gated road, which is quite nice. A lot of publicity and people around there, which is a bit of a worry. So if she's looking for a nice, quiet location, I think she's chosen fairly inadequately. And there's also some stuff gone on over the years. I've been looking into a bit of the history of the building. I mean, it's always nice to have a house with a lot of history. So some interesting previous occupants, of course. Last owned by a private person in 1732. Owned by a Mr. Chicken. So lots of interesting history. One of the things that does worry me, though, is that if you check the land registry and compare it to other houses in the street, it has changed hands a lot.
Right, yeah, it always suggests there's something wrong with it, really.
You move in, you think this is all great, and then you suddenly find, you know, you've got noisy neighbours. Yeah, I bet. And all other things we haven't actually considered. Because, you know, people just don't move houses in that street very often, apart from that one. So I think she should take care.
I've heard that you can't open the door from the outside. Is that true?
It's a design flaw, yeah. They've had a succession of builders in there, and nobody seems to be able to reverse that particular door. See, it's a listed building, so you've got to be very careful what you can do. I mean, she couldn't even change the colour of that front door.
Really?
And to be honest, it is a bit drab. And I'd like to see the colour of the door change, for sure, but she could run into problems with planning. Well, actually, I was looking into the whole planning issue, and there have been a lot of modifications to that building over the years,
right.
And I can't, I don't want to start a scandal here, but I can't find a single bit of planning permission for the work that's been done.
No way.
Way.
And that could prove problematic. My thoughts, Martin, looking at a sort of the sort of layout of it on this piece of paper in front of me here, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, not the best use of space. I'm seeing something called a chief whip's room, Scott.
Well, that...
which sounds quirky. And a junior lord's room.
You see, you've got to be careful when you renovate houses not to put too much personality in. Obviously, somebody has prepared that for some very interesting personal sort of use.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Martin, surely that's still got value. You could turn it back into a bedroom, right?
Yeah, you could, and you might have some interesting extra features you could use. So, you know, that is always good. And, of course, I mean, which will put people off, and I don't know if she's actually going to do this, but it does come with a resident cat.
The cat stays.
That is something I've never come across in all my time of doing handles of the hammer. Nobody leaves their pet. I mean, what's gone on there?
I've heard that Teresa doesn't even get a door key.
Well, that's just horrendous.
To her house.
Maybe there's a secret entrance. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities. Yeah, as I said, the trouble is you're trying to think the plans for this place, and it's very difficult. And what worries me as well, have you noticed that you see lots and lots and lots of people going in through the front door?
Yes.
But they never come out.
Do we think there might be an issue of damp in Downing Street?
Well, in the 1950s, apparently, they tried to do a lot to sort it out, but it has reoccurred. And any reoccurring problems like that, you know, are something that's buyer beware.
Right.
But what buyer beware.
What concerns me most is that she's just kind of seems to be just going into this without having done quite a lot of preparation, and she hasn't really looked at any options. Right. And, you know, you should have two or three options. You could say 10 Downing Street, 3 Lansdowne Crescent, 14 Smith Street. I mean, she needs to have some comparables, but she's just kind of like, without doing too much thought about it, just leaving it this. But mind you, the price is good.
She's put all her eggs in one basket there, Martin, hasn't she?
I think she has, and she has broken the hammer at Cardinal Real that she hasn't looked at the property before she bought it, and I bet she hasn't read the legal pack.
Right, Martin, it's so good to get your expert analysis on this. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. I'm there for you guys.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Alice Levine always does Real or No Real on a Wednesday. Today is no exception. Hello.
Hello.
We're back from Paris. Did you hear any of our Euros commentary?
Yes, I loved the bit about the... The bit about the...
You didn't listen to any of it.
That's really bad because it's the kind of commentary that would have got you into football.
No.
You'd been perfect for
it. I did love it. I liked the offside bit.
Oh, right. That's terrible. And we
don't
will
even
never
try
support,
and blag it.
We will never support you in anything you ever do ever again.
Calm down.
It's fine.
It's still football. I hear what you're saying. It was the perfect like entry point if you're new to the game, new to the beautiful game. But I'll watch it back.
Is it the football thing or the commentary thing from us that's getting
you? Oh, yeah, it was the commentary thing, really. Yeah, I would watch the football. I just couldn't work out how to switch off the commentary.
Fair enough.
Okay, here's today's Real or No Real facts.
The moths that invaded the Euro 2016 final are set to invade the UK today.
Okay, this really concerns me because when I was covering for you guys, I was talking about my slight paranoia about Flying Ant Day.
Mm.
You know how that comes around annually? And when you were at school, it just shut everything down.
Everything, yeah.
It just comes from nowhere as well.
Out of nowhere. One day you see a fat ant, the next day there's ants everywhere and they are winged. They're like pigeons. They're like small dogs with wings. So my thing is, we just need some kind of warning. And this is not warning enough if it's happening today.
Did you see on the final the swarm on the pitch?
It was petrifying.
It was like something. It was like a horror film.
It was like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I mean, even if you didn't see the football, you heard about the moths.
I heard about the moths. I always keep up with moth news, if not football news.
We were watching the live feed from the stadium an hour before, and I was like, they're not going to be able to play football. It was that bad.
I thought it was kind of like ticker tape. I thought it was confetti initially. I was like, oh, it was a beautiful display they've put on.
Well, actually, that's a great thing for maybe the X Factor to consider, isn't it? Instead of ticker tape, they release a load of moths.
Unleash the moths!
Over the winner's single.
Does anyone know how the moth is doing that landed on Cristiano Ronaldo?
I believe it's going to the jungle to do I'm a Celebrity. If they're set to be invading the UK, are we imagining that they're crossing the channel right now in mass?
Yeah.
It's just a huge cloud of moths heading our way.
Yeah, which entry point is it to the UK, please? Is it like Outer Hebrides and down, or is it like, you know, I just need to know how long we've
got. That's a long way round from France.
It is a long way round.
They've just come straight from Paris.
Well, you're saying they're going from
as
up all the way down.
Well, we don't know if they're still in Paris. They might have worked their way up and round.
Is this real or no real?
I'm going to go... Oh, it's a terrifying thought.
Don't
I
say
it
as
not.
The crow flies, by the way. Just picked up on that. Never say that.
I'm going to say no real.
I think this is... Well, my concern is that it's very short notice for us to prepare, but it's the way it goes. It's like Flying Ant Day, so I'm going to say real.
That one is real.
Real?
Oh,
my word.
Yeah, knew it.
The winged insects which played the French versus Portugal Euro 2016 final are about to breach our shores. Brace, everybody. According to Richard Fox, head of butterfly and moth recording at Butterfly Conservation, they could already be on their way. And if they've got a decent tailwind, they can cover a lot of distance within 24 hours. Beware, everybody, of the moths. They're on their way. However, if the one that sat on Ronaldo's face is still alive, that can sit on mine.
Why?
because it's been on a famous's face.
Okay, so let's just imagine this situation. Later on, you're in your garden, you see all the moths coming, and you're there going, sell my face.
Which one is you?
Sell my face.
Come on, my pretties, come land on me.
And next.
Mothman.
Oh, my God, he'll totally be like in Mary Poppins. Yeah. You know, the bird
exactly
woman.
What I was thinking.
Tuppence a bag.
The bird woman with moths. Feed the moths.
Feed
the moths. Tuppence a bag.
And next.
David Cameron has been caught spending his last remaining hours at number 10 sweeping for Pokemon.
Not in the last hours. That's not what you would do.
Oh, this is the new Pokemon game, isn't it?
You just hear about it everywhere.
Yeah, but it's not out in the UK yet. But saying that, loads of my friends were on Facebook last night saying, look how the world's changed. All my friends are searching for Pokemon and I'm...
How can they be?
That's what I keep thinking. Is like, how are people getting copies of it? Like, I've seen people at work here with the game. I don't know where they're getting it from because it's not out yet. But David Cameron, I mean, he's got the links, hasn't he? If he wants to play Pokemon, he can.
Alice has gone really quiet.
Yeah, I get it. I know that he's, you know, big deal, so he needs to be over all the trends. But I just think in the last remaining hours, it's like a holiday let, isn't it? He'd be doing the hoovering, he'd be wiping everything down, like getting everything tidy to give it to the next person. I don't think he'd be playing games.
It's a bit like when you come to the end of your rental agreement.
Exactly.
You really want the deposit back.
It's a deep clean, isn't it?
It is.
You're not just doing your regular sort of dusting. You're going under the carpet
You see, I disagree. Do you guys not know how this... the kitchen cupboards?
Oh, for sure. All the jars out.
Yeah. Do you not know how this game works? So what it is it like uses the camera on your phone, so it looks like you're just looking around, say, here, the Radio 1 studios, but then up on your phone, up pops Pokemon. So I can see why he's doing it, because once he's out of that house, he's probably not going to be allowed back, is he? I assume he won't be allowed anywhere near. So if you are searching for Pokemon, search there before you have to leave, because I reckon there's a right rare one there. And he won't want Theresa May to get it.
No, he really won't.
But then what happens is everyone hears about a Pokemon knocking about, right? And they all seem to be turning up in one location.
Knocking about!
I mean, it all seems... It is actually mad, isn't it? It is mad that everyone's on the hunt for these Pokemon.
Give me an answer, real or no real?
Cameron playing Pokemon.
Last remaining hours of number 10, sweeping for Pokemon, real or no real?
No real. He's not
Alice.
Really doing that.
I'm going to say he's doing the deep clean, so I'm saying no real.
That one... is no real.
As far as we know, Mr. Cameron hasn't really been sweeping for Pokemon at number 10 because that is made up. Although the Pokemon Go app has proved so popular that it's already caught cheating boyfriends and has introduced the idea of professional Pokemon trainers advertising their services for £20 an hour.
You could
catching
do that.
Teach how to do it.
Catching the cheating boyfriends. How's that happened? What with a?
Are they cheating with a Pokemon?
They're at it with a Pokemon.
Yes.
No. What?
But it's not real.
What's happening?
I'm so confused. Someone's on the search for a Pokemon and they've rounded the corner and Pikachu's having it off with their boyfriend.
What? I always thought Pikachu was loose. Alice, this always happens with you.
Sorry.
You just go on and on. Here's your next fact.
Kylie Jenner has eaten her first fried chicken takeaway in 18 years.
Who was it? Was it you that hadn't had fried chicken ever?
No.
Actually, it's not you, is it?
No. I'm quite partial, you'll be surprised to hear.
Yeah, but it'll be like...
Yours will be coated in breadcrumbs and...
Wait a sec. Yeah, it might be from the Japanese restaurant down the road and it's called karaoke chicken. Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
But it's still fried chicken.
Yeah.
In a lovely spicy peanut sauce.
No.
It's the same. It's the same as you get in a chicken shop. It's the same.
So Kylie Jenner's managed to avoid fried chicken for 18 years.
Do you think they have it in Calabasas, where they live in California?
I can tell you that they do.
What, in their gated community?
No, but they have one in Calabasas because I went past it.
You've so been.
I have.
Oh, my God.
If she did do it, I hope she went the full way and got gravy and everything. I can't imagine that.
Here's my thing that I find really confusing about the whole thing. There's many, many menus in a fried chicken shop.
Yeah.
And you have to know whether you want to go, like, thigh, two wings, three wings, two pieces. Two pieces, four, you know, it's like a lot of maths to do.
No, that's not, because all it is what you're in the mood for. Like, I'm going through a stage of boneless banquet at the moment. And what they are geniuses at is sort of matching the right box meal with the times. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with saying boneless banquet.
No, but there is. So is.
Stop saying it.
What, don't you... Have you not heard of this?
Oh, God.
I don't think that's a funny thing to say.
Oh.
Don't say it again, please.
Boneless banquet.
Yeah. Also,
lovely.
I change. Sometimes I'm a breast man, sometimes I'm a thigh man.
Do you know what I mean? Move with the times.
Yeah, but you're always going to be able to have both because you just order two pieces, don't you? You'll get one of each.
Yeah,
or are you one of those that specifies what they like?
I do, yeah.
Do you specify within the, you know, the enclosure where they come from?
Yeah.
Within the cage? Do you? Because you can directly point at the piece you want, can't you?
Yeah, which I enjoy.
Yeah, I quite like that.
You eat the bones and everything, don't you?
Yeah. No boneless banquet
no,
for me.
He likes a bone banquet. That's what he likes. He's very much, yes, he's off the bone sort of guy.
What's happening?
Kylie Jenner has eaten her first fried chicken takeaway in 18 years.
I forgot we were doing real or no real.
Real
or
no real.
I'm going to go real.
I don't care. I think it's...
I'm going to take you for a boneless banquet. It's going to be such a fun time. I can't wait to see your face.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to say this one's real.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That one is real.
Absolutely true. In all of her 18 years, Kylie Jenner has never once sampled the Colonel's famous 11 herbs and spices. Until yesterday. Got a little bit peckish in Budapest. With Tiger, on-off boyfriend, and decided to go for the full takeaway and naturally Snapchatted the entire thing. At the end of that round of real or no real?
I got 20, Alice got 30.
Yeah!
Full house, guys. Full house. That is a full bonus banquet right there.
No, you stop it. Have we broken you?
I honestly have lost my mind. That was my favourite one so far.
It's mad how funny you think of that idea. Like, I love that meal.
So you on the radio on Saturday and Sunday?
On Sunday. Lovely Adele's in for Saturday, but yeah, 1 till 4. There you go.
Those are the best bits of Wednesday's show. Back tomorrow from 1 on Radio 1. Scott Mills, BBC Radio.